In this video, we're going to understand how to not be a victim of Western sanctions. When I say the word West, I hope you know what I mean. I mean United States and its ally countries. First, let me explain what is a sanction. In simple words, a sanction is like a penalty, and that penalty is usually aimed towards a particular country's economy. It is like cutting the financial arteries of a country. After all, money is at the root of almost everything in this world. The main idea is to hit the most vulnerable spot so that you can potentially control your opponent. Plus, no country in this world wants to see its economy go down. So, United States and its allies use sanctions to protect their position of being superior, or you can say it gives them the authority of being the watchdog of the world. Now, as you may know, because of this Russia-Ukraine war, United States and its allies have put numerous sanctions on Russia. Here's the list of sanctions imposed on Russia so far. The list is long, I'm going to list them country-wise. Pause the video and read it. So the Western countries have all agreed to remove selected Russian banks from the SWIFT messaging system. The full form of SWIFT is Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunications. This system creates a network of banks and other financial institutions across the world to transfer money across borders. The moment Western countries banned Russia from this system, the Russian currency, that is ruble, collapsed to an all-time low against the US dollar. Whenever any country's currency declines sharply, it will have negative effect on that country's economy. It creates hyperinflation. Prices of everything increases, and ultimately it is passed on to the customers or citizens of that country. Meanwhile, that country's central bank has to come to its rescue by supplying more currency into their market to meet demand. Everything has a trickle-down effect, and it all gets complicated. The reason Western countries put sanctions on a country is because it will cause hyperinflation. As a result, it will affect the innocent citizens, and that will trigger a political and economic instability inside that country, which can further lead to change in political regime. To make you understand this in a simple way, in movies you must have seen that the villain always goes after the family members or friends of the hero. The idea is to control or make the hero vulnerable. That is the same concept behind imposing sanctions. This is what the United States and the European Union countries have done to many countries. The whole idea behind United States and its allies putting sanctions on Russia is to make Russia pay the price of what it did to Ukraine. Now that the Western countries have put sanctions on Russia, the governments of these Western countries are expecting some kind of political and economic instability to happen inside Russia. And if you have read Joe Biden's statement, he said, "Putin chose this war. And now he and his country will bear the consequences." That line, "he and his country will bear the consequences," it means Russian President Vladimir Putin, his government, and the Russian citizens will bear the consequences. So this is what I meant. The governments of these Western countries are expecting some kind of political and economic instability to happen inside Russia. So this is the whole idea behind putting sanctions. Now the most important lesson to learn from this incident is that after World War II, United States and European Union countries, and then there are other countries who are not part of Europe, but they are still allies of the United States. So basically, if you see, United States after the World War II has built an alliance of liberal countries who share common values and interests. Basically, they have formed a gang and they collectively go after anyone who do not share their values and interests. So what can we learn from it? If you are a country who do not share similar values and interests of the Western countries, then you don't have any right to talk about your own country's security concerns. Simply because the Western countries are going to gang up on you and pressurize you both economically as well as militarily. Let's look at NATO. NATO stands for North Atlantic Treaty Organization. It was formed in 1949 with 12 founding members, 2 North American and 10 Western European. And since then, NATO has expanded aggressively during the Cold War. From 2004 to 2009, 9 countries have joined NATO. And that also includes former Soviet republics. And if you know, the most recent membership of NATO was given to Montenegro and North Macedonia between 2017 to 2020. So as of today, there are 30 countries who are members of NATO. So if today we talk about Chinese expansion, what about NATO's expansion? Just think about it. There are 195 countries in the world today. Not everyone is part of NATO. But then NATO is the most powerful as well as successful alliance on earth. If tomorrow some country does something to secure its own interest, and let's say those interests do not align with Western countries' interests, what will happen, do you know? The Western countries are going to gang up against that independent sovereign country. Look at India. India is such a big country. If India's own interests do not align with the Western countries' interests, then India will also face sanctions. There is no doubt in that. In fact, there are incidents in the past when United States has put sanctions on India. Let me point out a few. India faced sanctions during the 1998 nuclear tests. Why? Because United States never wanted India to have its own nuclear weapons. Today, India has nuclear weapons. That is why it is able to avoid a large-scale conflict between its neighbors. In 2019, United States warned India and said, if Indian companies continue to import oil from Iran, then India would face severe sanctions. Although US did not put any official sanctions, but the threat was enough for India to stop buying oil from Iran. And then last year in 2021, when India received its first unit of S-400 missile defense system from Russia, United States was not happy with it. There were high-level talks regarding United States' possibility of putting CAATSA sanctions on India. I'll give you another example. Last year when Biden became the president, he announced the American Democratic Party's energy doctrine. Basically, it is the US Democratic Party's agenda of pleasing environmentalist voters. Biden administration has also refused to increase oil and gas output in America, Europe and also around the world, which is part of their reducing greenhouse gas emission plan. Now, countries like India are emerging economies. To keep its economy sustainable and make it grow, India has to keep its production capacity in full swing. To keep production in full swing, you need energy in the form of oil, gas, electricity. For smooth continuous power supply, you need thermal power plants. Thermal power plants require coal. Now, because of US Democratic Party's tight environmental policies, international reinsurance companies are not providing insurance support to Indian coal-fired power projects. Because most of the reinsurance markets in the West have closed the doors to coal-based projects. Now, you may have a question why India has to depend on Western insurance companies. Well, the answer is you have to understand that a thermal power plant is an expensive project. Domestic insurance companies cannot fully cover the cost. So what the Indian domestic insurance company do is, they diversify the risk among foreign insurance companies. You can think of it as an investment. Most insurance companies generate revenue in two ways, charging premiums in exchange for insurance coverage, then reinvesting those premiums into other interest-generating assets. Since last year, thermal power plants in India are finding it difficult to secure foreign reinsurance. Almost 75% of power generation in India is from thermal projects. Foreign insurers have stopped insuring coal-fired thermal plants because of their new tight environmental policy. So you see how much problem it creates if you depend on some other country. But then look at the hypocrisy of United States. Biden announced the energy doctrine in the beginning of 2021. And by the end of 2021, that is in December, his administration approved more oil and gas drilling permits on public land. So basically, Biden is pleasing the environmentalist and at the same time, he's also aware of the reality that fossil fuel is a necessity for running the economy. On one hand, he's appeasing the environmentalists and tackling the climate change agenda by shutting the Keystone XL pipeline project from Canada. And on the other hand, he's also giving drilling permits on public land. The same thing America did in Europe as well. The US Democratic Energy Policy has put Europe in a difficult situation. Because of America, Germany has also decided to shut nuclear plants, decommissioned coal and gas plants. Same with France and UK too. So you see what's going on. Basically, Joe Biden and his Democratic Party have a climate agenda. He wants to appeal to his Democratic voter base by reducing the climate cost of domestic fuel production. The same policy of America has been passed on to Europe. And I'm sure they will do it to all democratic countries. However, deep down, Biden knows that it is not possible to solely rely on renewable energy. And at the same time, America also wants to neutralize Russian leverage on Europe. Because Europe is majorly dependent on Russia for its gas supply. But now after the Russia-Ukraine war, all the Western countries have also put sanctions on Russian oil and gas industry. And now the United States wants Saudi and UAE to increase their oil production capacity for reducing the oil prices in the world. Saudi and UAE has declined their call. The West should have secured an alternative before sanctioning Russia. Why would Saudi and UAE listen to United States? Everyone knows that it's a blunder of the United States. It is because of the US policies, today the fuel prices around the globe has increased. And also think about it. If Saudi and UAE increase their oil production capacity, don't you think that will be a loss for them? Right now, when the Western countries have put sanctions on Russian oil and gas industry, don't you think for the Gulf countries it is right time to earn profit? Why would Saudi Arabia do this favor to United States? Last year in September 2021, if you remember, United States had removed its most advanced missile defense system, that is the Patriot, from Saudi Arabia. Since then, the Houthis in Yemen have been actively attacking Saudi forces. This war between Saudi Arabia and Yemen is happening since 2014, And believe me, United States is the reason behind Iran-Saudi Arabia rivalry, taking advantage of the religious as well as political rivalry. So even Saudi Arabia has said to United States that come, help me with this Yemen issue. Only then I will produce more oil for you. After the United States withdrawal from Saudi Arabia, Saudi Arabia's security situation has become weak. These Houthis rebel forces are Iran's proxy forces. Even Pakistan is involved in this. Iran recruits many Pakistani Shia men and train them to fight against the Saudis in Yemen. Anyways, this topic requires a separate video. So in a nutshell, if you want to know why the prices of fuel and crude oil have increased in this entire world, it is because of United States environment policy. Now think about it. Let's say there is an XYZ country. This country has huge piles of coal and natural gas reserve. But then because of the Western country's energy policy, this XYZ country will not be able to access its own energy reserve, which can potentially make its economy grow. But now they cannot do that, otherwise the Western countries are going to put sanctions. Just think about it, how are you going to create electricity? There's a lot of hype going on about the EV industry, but you also have to understand that even EV industry also requires electricity. How are you going to create electricity? Do you think solar power would be sustainable during night time? Do you think wind turbines will move if at all there is no wind? Do you think hydroelectricity can be sustainable all throughout the year? So how are you going to create electricity? So basically the Western countries, in the name of environment, climate change, has created an idea wherein they can force other countries in the world to not use fossil fuel and become energy dependent on the Western countries. Because any kind of development needs energy. Now to stop someone from using that energy, you have to create a fear, and that fear is death due to climate change. Anyhow, there is more to it and I'll make a separate video on it. But the point of this video is, how do you avoid being a victim of Western countries' sanctions? The more we move towards self-dependency, the better it will be. We need to have a domestic alternative for almost everything that makes you dependent on some other country. And you don't have to apply this logic in personal relationship. Here I'm only trying to make you understand from geopolitical angle. You must have also seen in the news that MasterCard and Visa have suspended their services in Russia. These are credit card payment systems, and these are also American multinational financial service companies. Just imagine, if a similar sanction is put on India or any other country, can you imagine how much time will it take to disrupt your economy without these online payment options? Depending on how strong your country's economy is, it may take roughly 3 months to 6 months or maybe a year. Your domestic payment services will work, but you will face problems with overseas transaction. And you know, when it comes to credit cards, the Indian market is dominated by Visa and MasterCard. That is why there is a big debate. Should a country allow a multinational company to enter and grow deep roots in their domestic market? That is why in India we have the RuPay debit and credit card. And then we also have UPI system developed by the National Payments Corporation of India. So like this, we need a domestic alternative to almost everything, so that tomorrow these multinational companies cannot dictate terms and conditions. We also need to have an alternative to internet as well. Google has also blocked its internet in Russia. And if at all for some reason you cannot have an alternative, then what a country should do is, they should create strong policies against these multinational companies for storing data locally and make them comply to it. This way they cannot pull the plug from their hometown. A local data center can be taken over and restarted in case of emergency. That is why you will notice that Google, Facebook, they do not have data centers in India. Amazon has a data center in India, but mostly you will find that big multinational companies of United States are not usually in favor of building a local data center. So anyhow, in the wake of the Russian financial crisis, it is very important for countries to evaluate and create self-dependent ecosystem so that they don't become a victim of Western countries' sanctions and assert power without compromising on values. A good example is, look at China. It is immune to the Western sanctions to a great extent. That is why whenever United States puts sanctions on China, it hardly makes a difference to China. China over the years has made huge efforts to shield its economy from all these tricks. And by the way, China also does the same thing what United States does. That is why I always say democracy is good, but too much democracy is not good. Democracy basically means openness. Being open also leads to exploitation. You may have good intentions, but not everyone has it. Similarly, you may be a critical thinker, but not everyone is a critical thinker. And after a point, it will lead to vulnerability. And that's how terms and conditions are dictated. That is exactly why the Indian government has banned many Chinese apps. You know, sometimes I feel Russia, India, China, Japan should come together and gang up against the Western bloc. That would be a deadly combination. all these four countries can easily sustain and survive within their own region. But then I also don't see any possibility of that, because in the eastern side we have our own culture, identity, or our own way of doing things, and that can create a conflict of interest. But if you look at the Western Bloc, while they may share common values and interests, but they lack culture, identity, virtue, and even the family system is very weak in West. And there are many more such things. Anyways, this can be a never-ending talk. I hope you found this video informative. Thank you for watching it.